The beginning of Parsha Kedoshim, we find the Pasuk tells us, Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, and you shall say to them, speak to the entire assembly of the people, and say to them, Kedoshim ti you, ki kedoshani Hashem lokechem, you shall be holy, for I am Hashem your God. For holy am I, Hashem your God. We know the idea of Kedusha is either, as Rashi points out, Prushim to you, you should be separate, or the Ramban, not to be a Navo Brishus HaTorah, not to be a degenerate within the permission of Torah. And the idea of Kedusha is acting in a way, which we'll Mirza Shem talk about today, in a way that's above the standards of the normal habits of people. The focus that I'd like to focus in on Mirza Hashem today is the beginning of the Pasuk. Pasuk tells us, Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of the children of Israel. That's an unusual phrase. So Rashi tells us, verse 5, Milamed shenemra parsha zu bahakel. We learn that this parsha was said bahakel. Bahakel means within assembly, men, women, children. Why? Mipnei shirov gufei Torah tluyim ba. Because the majority of Torah is dependent or found in it. What's the in it? We have to obviously talk about. The kvarim duim mefarshim levayer aslachayim osher rav bixad sal. What is unique about this parsha, that this parsha was said by Hakel? The only other time that we have Hakel is Bamad Har Sinai, receiving of the Torah, and the whole mitzvah of Hakel, which is once every 7 years, after the Shemitah year, during Sukkot, the king reads from the Sefer Torah. It was a unique ceremony. But for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the entire parsha by Hakel, that was something unusual. And we know, as Rabbi Miller brings down, based on the Gemara, how did Moshe Rabbeinu usually teach? So the normal standard procedure was Moshe Rabbeinu learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He then taught it to Aaron. Then Aaron moved to the side. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Aaron's children. They moved to the side. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Zekanim. They moved to the side, the elders. And then he taught it to anyone who wanted to show up. As the Maharal said, if you wanted to come, you came. If you didn't want to listen to the Shir that day, you didn't. And then Moshe Rabbeinu would leave, and Aaron would teach it. And then Aaron would leave, and his sons would teach it. They would leave, Zekanim would teach it. And that way, every person heard it 4 times, and that way it would ensure that the transmission would be an accurate transmission. And as the Sifti Chachamim notes at the end of Source 3, usually a gathering of all the nation denotes that all the men were gathered. Concerning the mitzvah to be holy, the women and children were also required to be present. Also notes the Sifti Chachamim, usually it was Parshios, small sections here. The entire section was Parshios Kedoshim, was read in one continuous speech. That was unusual, as the Maharal points at, noted, as we noted, is that men didn't have to come. By here, everyone was present. What is it about this Parsha? What is it, Mipnei Sherov Gufei Torah Tluyim Ba, that it was said Bahakam? What you try to look at is 2 approaches, and within each approach, 2 aspects, and we'll see a lot of parallelism between the A and B of both, and have a sense of what direction and directive it has for our lives. And I think we'll come up with, on the last level, a tremendous insight and chinish in looking at our parsha. The first approach is that Mipnei Sherov Gufei Tluyim Ba, it's not that most of the importance of Torah is found Ba in the parsha, but rather in this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. As Rav Friedland Zatzal, Sifti Chaim points out, Klomar zu apticha l'rov gufei Torah. Kedoshim Tiyu is the opening of most of what Torah is about. As the Ramban points out, Shekach darka shal Torah, kodem shemeferetet et apratim, hikolol akol tachet klal achat. The Torah very often will give you a general statement and then the specifics underneath. The general statement of our parsha is Kedoshim to you should be holy. Ah, how should you be holy? A, B, C, and D, that's the rest of the parsha. But the hakel, the aspect of it being said in a group of people, was not so much for the particulars as for the general statement of Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy, which is HaMechaneh Meshutaf L'chol Gufei Torah, is really the underpinnings of the entire Torah. It therefore has to be said by Hakel. And the end of the Parsha, V'yitem l'kadoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem, it's underscored there as well. So here you see that Kedoshim Tiyu is really the focus of what the Torah is about, of being holy. And because, as we know, Mount Har Sinai, Vatem Tiyu Li Mamlechus Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, we are told to be a holy nation, a nation of priests and a holy nation. So here, in order to teach everyone, you want to know what the basis of Yiddishkeit is about. You want to know, as Tzfasemes points out in source number 8, Sharbei mitzvos tuliyim b'mitzvah zu shel kadoshim tiyu. How many mitzvos are really dependent on this mitzvah of kadoshim tiyu? I'm therefore making sure that everyone hears this mitzvah to see how important it is. But you know, my friends, it goes much deeper than that. It's not just to underscore how important this mitzvah is, and therefore it's Sebe HaKel. It's to teach us a much more fundamental idea as well. And that is, as the Ohr Moshe points out, a person who's going to listen to this and hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, men, women, and children, you know, the entire Torah is predicated on Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. A person may say, you know what, that's very nice to say be holy, but me? You expect me to be holy? From the family I come from the place I live, you know, holiness was for people who live in Bnei Brak and Me'ez Sharim. Those are for the special rabbis and rebbetzin, but not just a regular person. I'm a normal person. You expect me to be holy? So therefore, in the bold and nine, says the Ohr Moshe of Shinerman, V'lachein parashasu nemer b'haka, lomar l'cha to teach you, shekulam shrichim litasef lishmo et tzavah kedusha. Everyone has to hear this. Because this is an obligation that is dependent on each and every one of us. It doesn't matter who is your child or who is your environment. Because we have to cling to Hashem's ways and look into who He is. Hashem created us as a Tzelem Elohim, as somebody created in the image of God, and therefore, we who are found in Hashem's image, and Hashem is holy, we all have the ability, and we all have the commandment to be able to reach these levels of Kedusha, these levels of holiness. And that's our job. The Tafkido Shel Adam. As Baruch Hu Shebekocho Liyot Kadosh, if Hashem created us this way, we definitely have the potential to reach these levels. And it's our job to be able to do this. So Kedoshim Tiyu is said by Hakel, it's said by a group, is that nobody should say, when they hear that mitzvah, oh, that one doesn't apply to me. Next. No! I want you to be present. Because as if Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, each and every one of you, men, women, and children, you have this obligation. None of you can say, it's not for me, it's not relevant. As Dashraga Rav Grossbart echoes this, he says, Hatzivui kan at 11 shall kadoshim to you, ne'amar l'chol achad v'echam Yisrael, shetachayim harigilim v'agashmiim shebolam hazeh. This is to teach us that normal life that we're involved in this world, which is what most of the Parshas Kedoshim is about. Lo yasu ba'ofen shafel v'yaru, don't do it on a lowly level. Ela b'tzura meromemev in Allah, do it in the most exalted way possible. Hatarai na ba'a lesor tenyanim v'atzrachim agashmiim. Don't get us wrong. You know, some people think immediately Kedusha means I have to live an aesthetic life. I have to live on some mountaintop. No! Torah isn't telling you to remove yourself from the physical pleasures. Ela adarava. Sarich lechov v'lishtof v'lasov dekoma sarich lasov. Ach lo bishvil l'malei tzorchei aguf kebalei chayim. But doesn't mean you have to be an animal, right? To be enough over shulsa Torah. You know, just to pause for a moment from Dashraga, when one learns Rav Wolbe, Sefer, and Alishur and Chelik Beis, he has a chapter on taiva, on desires. And there Rav Wolbe talks about how you have to do everything with the right balance. You need to sleep. So if a person needs 8 hours of sleep, then that's their norm. So 8.5 hours is a taiva, it's a desire. And 7 hours is not enough sleep. You have to get whatever you need. And he says the same thing by food. You have to eat what is normal for you. And he says there, which is so fascinating, he says eating dessert is not a taiva. It's part of our what people are used to. And to then eat 3 desserts, well, that's already a separate issue here. Judaism is not about taking away pleasures as much as it's about being able to do things in a normal, healthy way. as well as what is your mindset when you're doing these things. Sheyochal b'tzura memoremet, going back to that shraga of v'nale, l'shem spirat korach l'mol t'rav l'avodas Hashem. When you eat, you're not eating just to stuff your face and because you have a taiva desire to eat. You're eating to be able to have the energy to serve Hashem. That should be your mindset before you eat. As well as everything that you do, the chol chavanato, as the Shulchan Aruch speaks about, you l'shem shemayim, should be for the sake of heaven. A perfect example is the submission in Pirkei Avos. Three people, they ate on one table and didn't say divrei Torah. They, as a fifth, they ate mitzivchei meitim, from sacrifices to the dead. But three people who are eating v'nanim v'ein b'nim divrei Torah zekilu achlu korbanot avodasara. And the Rabbeinu Yonah explains shehi prika ol. When you're eating and you're separating and making a division between the physical and the spiritual, so then that's avodah zarah, that's strange worship, because that's not what Torah is about. That's not what Torah life is about. Our Torah life is that when we are involved in the physical world, kedoshim to you. So you're eating, so before you eat, you have that mindset, I'm eating in order to be able to have energy to serve Hashem. I'm going on the treadmill in order to have energy to be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, do Torah mitzvot. And then when you're eating, you say appropriate bracha beforehand. And at the table, you make sure to have some type of Dvar Torah, some type of words of Torah. You've taken that very food and you've elevated it to a higher experience. That's what Kedusha is about. This is in every situation that we're in. And that's why Torah encompasses our entire lives. And Mitzvah Kedoshim Tiyu 13, Eina Mitzvah Kala. It's not easy. Misha Choshev Shekal, Eino El Toa, you're making a mistake. Zuhui Avodah L'chol HaChayim. This is a lifetime challenge. B'chol Pula U'b'chol Ma'aseh Shosim. In every action that we're doing. V'tarif Tamid L'amod Al Mishmar. And we have to be vigilant. To be able to pay attention. So Adam Vanotav, you and this is what's going to elevate a person. And that is why, as Rav Sternbach points out in Source 14, it then makes sense why Shabbos, the Kiddushto, Kiddush, Shabbos is the holiest day of the whole week. And on Shabbos, do you know that we're supposed to have beautiful food? We're supposed to have beautiful clothes. Yantif, even nicer clothes and nicer food. Yantif is a simcha, basar, and yayin. Shabbos and the Shami Yaseira is about ability to eat delicacy. Echo mashmamim, shtei mamtakim. Eat the fat foods, drink the fine wines. Ah, but Shabbos is a day of Kedusha. How does that gel? That's exactly the point. Hence, on Shabbos, the holiest day of the week, it's a mitzvah to partake of the choicest food. Far from contradicting the holiness of the day, the act of eating is conducive to holiness, if the person eats for the sake of Kedusha Sayyot, rather than for his own personal pleasure. Again, the prerequisite is that I'm eating it because it's Shabbos Kodesh. I'm eating it because it's a day of holiness. And this is the way I'm going to be able to enjoy the holiness of the day. The Navab Rishus HaTorah of the depraved person acting within the letter of Halacha, found in the Rabban's commentator, Terry uses this world for the sake of deriving pleasure from it, in complete contrast to the Kadosh, who dedicates his life to performing the will of Hashem. That is why the Ramban uses the term Naval, as in the Pasuk, the fool, Naval, has said in his heart there is no God. Because since a Naval lives in accordance with his own desire, and not in order to fulfill the will of Hashem, it's as if he is denying Hashem's existence. Hence, those of Tasha Rabbi Zatzal in Avodah Avodah. Every person, when they hear the Torah reading, the Parsha of Kedoshim, they have to ask themselves the cheshbon nefesh, v'lit bonein ba'atzmo, and ask myself, ba'ezen tarka'ah, hu amei, b'kiyu mitzvazu, shol kadesh atzmecha b'mutarla. How am I doing in making my life a holy life? How am I doing in sanctifying, in elevating the physical pleasures of this world for spirituality? How am I doing on Shabbos? Do before I eat food on Shabbos, do I say, l'chvot Shabbos Kodesh? When I'm making food for Shabbos, do I say, l'chvot Shabbos Kodesh? Right, I put that kugel into the oven, I say, l'chvot Shabbos Kodesh. I peel those potatoes, l'chvot Shabbos Kodesh. right? I clean up my house. I vacuum L'chol Shabbos Kodesh. If I do that, I'm living a life of Kedusha. And that's what the question we have to ask ourselves. And a person can't say, again, well, you know, Kedusha, it's too hard. Is eating matzah too hard? Is sitting in the sukkah too hard? Like, this is a mitzvah in the Torah. If it's a mitzvah, it's something that we're obligated in. And indeed, as the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, in Source 16 notes, B'chol ma she'yeneh ba'olam hazeh, lo yichaveh ma'anato, whatever enjoyment we get in this world, it can't be for our own physical enjoyment alone. Ella, l'avodas ha'bari yisbarach, it's in order to serve Hashem. As says the Pasuk in Mishlei, b'chol drachecha de'ehu, in all your ways, know Hashem. And we learn from here that kol ma'asecha yulu shem shemayim, everything should be for the sake of heaven. Even things that for should, eating, drinking, walking, sleeping, whatever it is, it's in order to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu better. Chayav Adam, therefore, in the end of 16, lasume navali bol dracha, we have to pay attention, v'lishkol kol ma'asav b'mos ne'isichlo, really weigh everything out. V'kishore'ed davar she'avili de'avodat habareis barach yaseyu. And if something's going to bring you closer to Hashem, do it. Vim lav, and it doesn't, lo yaseyu. Umisho no hey keno veder baro tamid ad kad l'shono k'sho shol mechaber kadosh. This is the litmus test. Ask yourself, can you imagine if we do this? This is why Kedusha is so hard. Every time we think something, every time we say something, every time we do something, is this bringing me closer to Hashem or not? Is this something going to elevate me or detract from me in my service of Hashem? And a person who lives their life with that awareness, with that being able to stand guard, is living a life of Kedusha. Is it any wonder that the first bracha of Sheva Bracha continues the Avodat Avodah, that we tell L'chasen and Kala, Isha Kol Bara L'chvodo, everything is created for Hashem's honor and glory. That's the yisod of building a home. That everything you do, ask yourself, am I bringing the Shechina, am I bringing Hashem's presence into this home or not? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. And 19, he goes further, Vayidei Shadam Yitrakel L'shaber V'lachni Atavotav HaKashmiyut L'man Shemayit Barach. You know what happens when you stop overindulging in your physical pleasures in this world? Then, Tritarer Botava V'avara Balotarul Trila. Then you're able to have room that the love which is wired in every person can be used. You haven't used up all the bandwidth, so to speak. You have room for love of Hashem, for love of Torah and Tefillah. Ki titarer bo ahava tivina tunaba. We all have a tremendous amount of love within us. And if I'm going to just be involved from going from pleasure to pleasure and indulging myself from one pleasure to another, then I have no space in me to channel that love, to use that love for spiritual things. As we ask for Shatei Banu Avas Torah V'Yira Shemayim in our Birkas HaChodesh. You know, I get this so often in working with 18-year-olds, and again, you can't really expect more. We're dealing with 18-year-olds, but you know who will be so immersed in the technology of this world, in the physical pleasures of this world, right? The shop till you drop mentality, and then they say, "Well, you know, Yiddishkeit doesn't speak to me, and davening just doesn't do it for me, and learning doesn't excite me. I'm just, you know, bored with my Yiddishkeit." Well, I wonder why. Yeah. If you've taken all of your passion and love and you've put it into feeding yourself, do you have any room left to feed things beyond yourself in connection with spirituality? There is a corresponding reality here. The more, or let's say the less, or to the extent you lessen your hyper-focus on self and physical pleasures, then you realize that there's something else that you can be able to invest in, and you will find that it will give you real pleasure. It will give you long-lasting pleasure, and that's the pleasure of a spiritual growth, and that's the pleasure of spiritual connection. And he notes here, he says, particularly in our generation, which he calls it, Ubiprat, second paragraph in 28, Koach HaKlipa Shel Galut America, in our American exile, mitgaber ma'ol le'afut v'legarot le'nei b'nei adam kol tavo v'chem gan olam hazeh. There's such a lure and push to the physical world that, you know, as if this is what's going to make you happy. The whole industry of advertising, you know, if you don't have this product, how can you live a happy life? And when we're bombarded by Western culture and Western mindset, so is it any wonder that we, you know, just buy this and have this and are overwhelmed by, because we're told if we don't have this, like, what type of life do you live? Like, you know, how are you subsisting? And we have to realize it's a trap. And we have to realize that what do we need and what do we want? And how can we take really what's important in our lives and make them a priority? It reminds me of a conversation I have with a friend of mine. I was telling her that I needed to use her computer, her house, to Skype, that we've really downsized in terms of our computer access in our home. We can get on very little. Like really bare minimum. And so I said, you know, can I come over? I have to do a Skype class. Can I use your home? So she said to me, you mean to tell me you can't access Google? Like you can't Google whatever you want? I said, yeah, that's correct. She said to me, this was great. She said to me, how are you living? That's such a great line. Like, you know, that's a really good question. Like, how can I live without Dr. Rabbi Mr. Google? I don't know. You know, googly eyes, here we come, like, yeah. I propose that question in itself is just telling you how far we've come or how low we've traveled. Proposa, we have to realize what our priorities are. And this brings us to Rav David Hofstadter, Drash David, Source 21. The form of sanctity at the Torah spouses, which is the essence of the mitzvah, to be holy, is meant to be integrated with attention to its physical needs. It does not call for denying such needs. Rabban explains that the mitzvah requires that a person refrain from satisfying all of his physical desires, such as indulging in consuming excessive amounts of meats and wine, which would render him a glutton within Torah's permission. One should not engage in such indulgences. Rather, one should make use of the physical world to the degree that is necessary in order to serve Hashem. The concept of holiness does not contradict physicality. It simply calls for gauging one's involvement with the physical world. Here's the key line. So it does not exceed that which is necessary. And that's a question for each one of us. Some of us do need these, you know, latest and greatest. And if that's what you need in order to serve God, because someday the basis of Kedusha then is gaining control in the asterisks in 21 over one's physical drives and developing the ability to restrain them, restricting oneself even in the realm of that which is permissible. Sanctity is achieved when a person reaches a level of self-control that places him in charge of his desires as opposed to allowing his desires to control him. And now I can appreciate the way Chazal almost seemed to have a contradictory view of a Nazir, of a Nazirite. On the one hand, he's called a Chota, a sinner. On the other hand, he's Kadosh, he's holy. Well, which one is he? And the answer is, we wish he would need to take such extreme steps of having to remove himself from certain pleasures of this world. And in that way, he's a Chota. The fact that he feels that this is what he needs to do in order to be holy, then he's Kadosh, he's holy. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't for us to abstain. The goal is for us to be involved in this world and be able to serve Hashem in this way. And it's really about, as Rav Friedlander notes in 25 and 26, it's about having self-control. And he notes here, he says, Aideshu Sholei, the asterisk in 26, Legamri Bechomer, to take the physical, elevate it to Hashem. You have to be the one in control of your house, not your house controlling you. And he notes, obviously the goal is to be in complete control, being like almost angelic in this world. But you know what? It goes step by step. You can a little bit rule over the physical. And you can rule in some areas completely. He sadly cried to Kedusha. It's not all or nothing. It's not, well, if I don't have a Dvar Torah at every meal, and if I don't say Lechol Shabbos at every meal, or I missed it one meal, then I'm nothing. No. Every step of the way, every little baby step that we take is counted for a tremendous amount. Because that's the only way that we're going to grow. So I didn't say it this week when I was cooking for Shabbos, or I didn't say it in every piece of food, or I didn't have it in mind every when I walked up to the treadmill today. So then tomorrow, I'm able to work on being able to take the physical and elevate it. Rav Lubi adds here a very, very deep insight into the dynamics, spiritually, of this interface between the physical and the spiritual. Let's first do his introductory ideas, and then we'll get to his punchline. Rav Lubi and Chumash 23, the numerous commandments of Parashat Kedoshim were specifically placed there in order that we recognize they will fall under the heading of this pasuk. Even the seemingly trivial mitzvahs found in this parasha are the foundation for acquiring the trait of holiness, what we say. For example, taking a small portion of one's crop for the poor might appear to be an inconsequential gesture of kindness, but it's a starting point for those striving for holiness. In a similar vein, 24, the Raavad makes a suggestion. To those who are interested in repenting but lack the physical stamina to fast, one should not finish his meal in its entirety. Instead, he should leave over a small portion on his plate. At first glance, it seems to be a simple action that anyone could do. Only after attempting to follow his directive does one realize why this apparently insignificant action is the key to controlling his desires and achieving holiness. Although this exercise involves no physical distress, it may prove more difficult than fasting. When food is especially appetizing or dessert is particularly enticing, it can be extremely difficult to leave over a portion and not indulge one's desires by finishing the delicacy to the last crumb. Imagine those yummy cherry pies or lemon meringue pies. Like, you don't want me to finish it? You want me to leave a little bit over? One has to subdue his cravings and fight the tendency to give in to his needs, quote-unquote. He might even be tempted to rationalize that Torah forbids one to waste perfectly good food. Baal Tashchit, to combat these thoughts, a person must clarify for himself that this exercise is not an act of destroying food, but part of a process of improving his character. I guess we could add parenthetically that if you had tea with that pie, so then, or that apple pie, so then it would be a little bit easier for you, because if you left off a little bit of pie with your tea, then you would have piety, and then you would realize that indeed, this is Kedusha, this is holiness. How does not giving in to one's desires bring the person to holiness in the arrow? By way of illustration, here goes. Magnetic fields surround all the heavenly bodies. When a star passes through the magnetic field of the sun, the gravitational force causes it to veer ever so slightly from its course. Similarly, spiritual forces have quote-unquote magnetic fields that surround them. The Yetzer exerts a powerful pull on us in the form of cravings that seem irresistible. Our neshama and seichel, the positive spiritual forces, have a corresponding quote-unquote magnetic field, but it's not as powerful as the field surrounding our Yetzer. When a person resists his desires, this is mamish the key, he draws himself away from the pull of the Yetzer Hara and is no longer under the influence of its magnetic field. So as long as I'm indulging, giving in to my desires, I'm almost in that magnetic force where I'm, to a certain degree, forced into, even though obviously we have bechira, we have free choice, but I'm pulled into the taiva, the desire so strong that's hard for me to extricate myself. Once I'm able to leave over a little bit of that pie, once I'm able not to say what I was going to say, once I'm able to have that self-control, to be the balabas, that you're the master of your house, so then you've weakened that force. And then this enables him to enter the field of the neshama and secha, which is the core of Kedusha. Once you've been able to weaken that part, so then that positive energy, that positive forces are able to come in and draw a person to the levels of Kedusha. That's what we have to keep in mind. So we have to keep in mind that Kedusha is about the mitzvah Kedoshim to use Sebehakel, because the mitzvah Kedusha is the underpinnings of the entire Torah of how we live our lives. Recognize that Kedusha is incumbent upon each and every one of us without exclusion. recognize that Kedusha is about taking the physical world and being able to have the mindset of serving Hashem. And Kedusha is done first and foremost, Sur Meira, by being able to separate ourselves from those lusts and those desires and being able to have that self-control and enter into the positive magnetic field. I will add here on this level, we're still on 1A of Kedoshim Tiyun in Sebe HaKel as a call for each individual. If that's a Surmei Ra, there's also an Asay Tov component, which is found with Titchel Yonin, Source 27, quoting Reb Zedel Epstein Zetzel, the Mashkiach in Yeshiva Torah Or. And he says, Ashrei Yishi Shmam Mitzvosecha, V'tarascha Advarcha Yasim Alipo. Praise is a person who's going to listen to the mitzvos and put them, and Torah, put them on their heart. And he says, you know, Shelu Yitbonein Hadam, this person would just look a little bit. Yereshem Mukaf Midei Yom Yom Alfei Elofim Shel Mitzvot. We have thousands of mitzvos, Torah, Chesed, every word of Torah, right? Every moment that you're listening to Torah, Gevaldik Amen Mitzvot, 100 brachos a day, saying Shem Shemayim, doing Hashem's will, refraining from not doing Hashem's will. If we would, El Shaddav Lo Yitbonein Hadam, we don't pay attention. V'lu Yivkach Hadam Einav Yeresh Al Kol Tzad B'chayim U'Mekayim Mitzvah. Wherever we are, we're doing mitzvos. Can you imagine? If we were to pay attention to this, if we were to recognize, wow, I'm involved in a mitzvah now, wow, this is gewaltic. And feel to be able to tap into that energy, how it's mekadesh et adam, how it sanctifies me, it's meromemedoto, how it elevates me, how it brings me to my purpose in this world, I'd be a different person. And we know, as he notes in 28 in Sefer Rav Zedel Epstein, it's like medicine. Even if you don't know the reason and how the medicine works, it works. Mitzvot, according to one opinion, doesn't need kavana. It works. But imagine if you were to focus in on this. I'm about to do a mitzvah. Wow, I've entered into a higher level of that magnetic field. I become holier. I become higher. And that's the challenge of mitzvah, it's said, behakau, for each and every one of us to have that awareness. And that's what life is about. Awareness on everything we do. As the Mechaber said, is it bringing me closer to Hashem or not? And everything I do that is bringing me closer to Hashem, to be able to tap into that energy, to be able to elevate ourselves through that energy. I'd like to share with you, before we do 1B, a Gvaldic story that I heard on a tape from our official Schechter, which blew me away. The story is so powerful in its simplicity and its beauty. The story he mentioned was from Moshe Feinstein Zetzel, who was being a guest at someone's home once, and the Balabas wakes up in the middle of the night, and he sees, 3-4 in the morning, he sees Moshe Feinstein, the Gadol HaTor, Zetzel, playing on the floor, ball, you know, rolling the ball back and forth with his 4-year-old daughter. The man was appalled, embarrassed, whatever word you want to use. And he says, Kvod HaRav, like, could I ask what you are doing at 4 in the morning, rolling a ball, 3 in the morning, rolling a ball with my 4-year-old daughter? Listen to Rav Moshe's response. Rav Moshe, listen closely. Rav Moshe said, obviously, it was clear that I took this little girl's bed. Now, this 4-year-old woke up in the middle of the night, whatever bed she was in, and she woke me up saying, I want my bed back, right? If you have a 4-year-old, then you know that's very pretty normal. Now, this 4-year-old doesn't know I'm Rav Moshe Feinstein. This 4-year-old just knows that there's some rabbi, old man, who's sleeping in my bed. This 4-year-old, in her mind, it's going to be imprinted, a rabbi took my bed. I don't like rabbis. And who knows what effect that's going to have when she grows older in terms of her listening to rabbis, listening to Das Torah. I knew that if I would play a game with her right now, she would look and view rabbis with positivity and would imprint in her for now and for the long run a positive view of rabbis. Wow. Whether the 4-year-old will remember this or not is irrelevant. It's part of her consciousness. It's part of her subconsciousness. It's part of her makeup. This is a Gadol Hador who understands actions now and their far-reaching effects. This is someone who's living a life of Kedusha. This is someone who's living a life of understanding what it means every moment and consciousness of the consequences in the future. If that, my friend, is 1A, there's another aspect. to why the mitzvah of Kedusha had to be said behaka. One, every individual is obligated. It's the basis of Torah. The second, the Yishtami Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druk notes in 31, who mipnei shekasher nimsa'im kulam ba'achdut muchletet, when we are in a unified group, you can reach greater levels of holiness than you can as an individual. And the Nesivah Shalom echoes this, and he says, we know the whole purpose of Torah is to have dveikus to Hashem, to cling to Hashem. Kedusha is a medium, a hechitim say, to be able to have this closeness. But Kedusha is almost impossible to reach. It's like the highest level of Pinchas Ben Yair, the Mesil Shisharin's list. V'lachem, Kedusha has to be a gift. 34, in reality, an individual doesn't, it's unable to reach Kedusha. It's a gift. And to really achieve full Kedusha, an individual won't be worthy of this gift. It's only with the group, who come together, Ruim heim lekabel matana, to get this group. And that's why daber kol adap in Esau kadoshim tiyu, ki la'asi, to be able to access madregas kadoshim tiyu, which is in a sense, it's a gift, shesofa matana sarich lazeh et kolach harabim. You need the power of the group. Okay, and daber kol adap in Israel, shirak ha'idei shidachdu yachad, yamshichu ha'kadusha. It's only when they come together will Kedusha come down. So now we understand, why did Kedoshim Tiyu have to be said in a group? The answer is obvious. It has to be said in a group because it's the group who enables the individual to be able to access Kedusha. Similar to Shabbos, that to really be able to access Shabbos, Vayakam Moshe called up in Israel, you have in a group. That's why Knesset Yisrael is Ben Zukha, that Klai Yisrael is the partner for Shabbos. It's not the individual, it's Knesset Yisrael. The group is the partner for Shabbos. And that's why on Shabbos we make sure to, you know, daven together and we learn Torah together. There's an inyan of the Klai that is able to bring down Kedusha. And that's why even in learning Torah, to be able to learn with a group of people together has a higher energy, has a higher ability to assimilate learning than an individual learning by themselves. This is why Kedoshim Tiyu had to be set as a group to underscore that if you really want to access Kedusha, you have to be united together. Klai Yisrael, we're united, we receive the Torah. And that's fundamental. So we have, my friends, the first level, 1A, 1B. Why is Kedoshim Tiyu, one question, said Bahakel? The answer is very simple. It said Bahakel in a group because each individual has to know they're not accepted. Two, that it's with a group together that you can access Kedusha. Then there's a second way of looking at that Rashi. So on the first level, the ba in it is in Kedusha. On the second level, source 39, Rav Belsky brings the Ramban. The Ramban addresses this question, why is it said behakel? And shows that the foundations of all the Aseret Hadibrot, the Ten Commandments, are represented in Parsha Kedoshim. That is why this Parsha was recited at a public gathering, says Ramban, because it's reminiscent of Matan Torah. If they should rove gufei Torah tluyim ba, what's the ba? The ba is the Parsha that we're in. The ba is in the Parsha. In this Parsha, the Klai Yisrael are able to access that the fundamental aspects of Torah found in this parsha, and hence Klai Yisrael need to hear it as a group because it's like a mini Mamet Har Sinai. It has, like, if you had to pick the parsha that's most reminiscent of the Aseret Dibrot, the parsha that has the fundamental mitzvahs, it would be Parsha Kedoshim. And indeed, if we go back a page to the Menachem Tzion of Zatzal, he points out, isn't it funny? Ki gufei haTorah hanemarin ba, hinam chovot ben adam chaveiro. Isn't it fascinating that most of the mitzvot that we find in our parsha, which are rov gufei Torah tzliyim ba, that the fundamentals of Torah are found here, are laws of interpersonal relationship, not take revenge, not to stand idly by your brother's blood, to be, you know, love your fellow like yourself, etc., not to hate your fellow. V'Torah yardalu sof daito shalda. And the Torah understands the innermost mindset of a person. Even if he's very careful about mitzvot between man and God, who no tell him so he tarim vats malo la kel. But between man and one's fellow man, he's what? He's misalso. Oh, you know, it's just a person. God, I would never do this to him. I never cheat God. But another person, so they'll make the money somewhere else. You know, they're so rich, they don't even notice the difference, right? To teach us, to make the roshim, to make the impression, to be able to engrave forever, that what is rov gufei Torah that you can't minimize in any way? It's the mitzvah, the mitzvah between man and one's fellow man. That's what you have to understand, that these are what the Torah is all about. And this is our challenge, to be able to hold on to these mitzvos to the best of our ability. And indeed, this is how we look at this parsha. This is how we have to look at this parsha. However, my friends, there's a 1b, and the 1b says the following, and this is a 2b rather. This is absolutely stunning, and that is, it's not enough to have every individual holding by Torah, by Kedusha. It's not enough that you have to be unified together in Kedusha, and that you can only reach levels of Kedusha when you're together. And we'll just add on this level, the Mishkat Shem and Rav Kaufman in 37, that's why there are people that before they do any mitzvah, they say, "Arei muchan mezumah l'kayim mitzvah b'shem kol Yisrael," in the name of Kla Yisrael. That whatever mitzvah they do, they connect themselves to Kla Yisrael. That I, as an individual, can do many mitzvahs, but to really be able to excel in my mitzvah observance, to be able to bring a shefa kedusha, to bring that holiness into this world for the entire world through my mitzvah, I need to connect with everyone else. So even your mindset in doing a mitzvah isn't only about, well, how can I get this mitzvah done? Before you do a mitzvah, before davening, right? I link myself with the group so that whatever bracha comes down, it's only coming down to me. It's coming down to everybody else. And if I don't do this, it's a little bit, you know, subsurious. It's a little bit cruel that here I have the ability to bring down Kedusha to this world by linking everybody together, that everyone should benefit from my mitzvah. And we don't do that. And we also know the famous idea of the Chasam Sofer, that not everyone can do every single mitzvah. I can't be a Kohen, a Levi, a woman, a man, divorced, married, all at the same time. It's really impossible. Try it. You can't. So everyone does whatever they can do by joining up with a tzibur, even if you can't do that particular mitzvah. You're not a Kohen. You're not a man. You're not whatever it is. By joining up with the community, you're able to feed each other. I'll do my share, you do your share, and together we'll keep the 613 mitzvahs. So the idea of Kedusha being able to be linked to all mitzvah observance together, as well as the mitzvah observance have to be linked as a community, is really fundamental. 2a, it's not the mitzvah of Kedusha per se, which is the mark here. It's the mitzvah of all the mitzvahs in this parsha have to be done with an awareness that this is fundamental. We have to be very careful about our mitzvahs. But adam l'chaveiro comes along, Rav Belsky Zatzal, and gives us a 2b. No. It's not just that these mitzvahs found in this parsha are fundamental and therefore had to be said in public. That's 2a. But there's another aspect, 41. One can approach the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs in one of two ways. An individual or as a member of the community. From a technical point of view, it might seem that the fulfillment of many mitzvahs depends exclusively on the individual. It's possible to fulfill mitzvahs, possible to fulfill one's Torah obligation as an individual, even in a hostile environment. An individual left the old country for America 150 years ago could very well have remained a tzaddik gomor, perfectly righteous. There were indeed such people who were not affected by their surroundings. There might have been a thousand such people, each with a home dedicated to our mitzvahs, where they taught their children the proper values. But a thousand individuals do not necessarily become a tzibur, a community. The Gemara mentions those who go to sea in ships who work in great waters and concludes, even they are likened to individuals. Each vessel faces a storm alone, 42 in the asterisk. The number of individuals affected may be great in number, but a common concern does not automatically give a group the ability to call a public fast, and they add the extra blessing of Aneinu in the Shemoneh Esrei. To become a tzibur, they must be able to pray as a unified group. Sailors aren't able to join together, even from the same vessel, because their presence of mind is traumatized. When individuals band together, their conduct and attitudes can create a collective entity whose power and influence extends far beyond the limited reach of its individual members. This is Sibor. Heeding the Torah begins as a private obligation between each individual and the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is the basis for Kima Torah in general. But there's also Shmiras HaTorah VaMitzvot on a communal level. A public obligation to Torah mitzvot that goes beyond the individual. The communal aspect of a mitzvah observance is the subject of Parsha Kedoshim. All the mitzvot discussed in this Parsha relate in some way to the rules governing the conduct of the community. And this is the Gevalt HaChiddush. Why are the mitzvot in this Parsha said b'hakel? Yes, it's for the individuals to know how important this Parsha is and really focus in on it. Good. To be. Every mitzvah in this parsha is understood both on the individual level and on the collective level. And the collective community has to pay attention to each one of these mitzvahs and be able to make sure that the community is abiding by it and upholding it. So just to give some examples to concretize, there's some that Rabelsky gives and some perhaps that we'll add on our own, and there are a tremendous amount. He speaks about the first mitzvah is Ishima Vaviv Tirao, to honor and revere one's parents. A community that possesses a pervading atmosphere of respect instills its quality into the minds and action of every individual. There should be an unspoken sense that one does not act with respect, cannot be fully accepted, if at all, into that society. Which means it should be understood that, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, when everyone rides buses, that if an elderly person looks on the bus, a child gets up. That is understood. There is this replace sevat takum. If you see an elderly person, a talmid chacham, walk into the room, whatever you are, a person should get up. That should be the community standard. That is something that is taught in the schools. That is something that should be inculcated as part of the community standard. And this is why that you have in some schools and some communities that you refer to rabbinic figures and teachers in the third person. This is a community system, right? Where a school is an example of such a community system. Wherein that engenders respect. It's, you know, you talk to somebody in the third person, it's not the same as, well, what do you think? You know, like, you know, you're like my buddy. Well, what do you think? No. What does the teacher think about this? What does, you know, so-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so think? It automatically creates that reference. Second, Shabbos. Obviously, everyone has to keep Shabbos, but there's a communal aspect. As Shabbos approaches, a sense of urgency overcomes the whole community, and people can be seen running to complete their preparations. The stores begin to close, and people ready themselves, dressing in their Shabbos finery in the moments before sunset. A quiet serenity slowly envelops the town. I had the opportunity of being in Kiryat Sefer a few months ago. And I'll tell you something about it that is done in this area of Kiryat Sefer that I was in. A few minutes before Shabbos, 15, 20 minutes before Shabbos or so, a little car goes by with music in it. And the people in the car are handing out, this is what this fellow does, treats with bamba, with candy, and the kids line the streets, right? The kids are already dressed and ready for Shabbos, and you see hundreds of kids lining the street, ready to get their Shabbos treat. Wow, that's an excitement in Kiryat Sefer that Shabbos is coming. It's not only the music in the air, which is felt in a lot of communities, but it's very real that, you know, you see bamba bags flying through the air, the kids lining the streets. Shabbos is coming. Anticipation is coming. Vaviv Shamar Tadavar, Yaakov Avinu anticipated when was the dream going to happen. Shamor Joma Shabbos Lakacho, the kids are anticipating. When is Shabbos going to come? 45, do not turn off to idols. Suggests that not only is the act of idolatry forbidden, but that the communal attitude towards idolatry must be one of total rejection and intolerance. A strong Jewish community fosters a Torah perspective, underlines every activity that takes place, setting a public standard of behavior. This keeps the ideas that abound in surrounding Gentile culture at bay, preventing it from filtering down to the private lives of Jewish individuals within. Throughout the Jewish history, we find periods of particular avarice were considered reprehensible, yet other times those same avarice were tolerated, if not actually popular. The strength of a community's commitment to a mitzvah can be seen in its attitude to a transgressor. In communities where the transgressor is accepted, the evader is tolerated. In communities where he's ostracized, the FA was tolerated. In communities where he is ostracized, the FA was not tolerated. Thus, no particular individual can be said to be responsible for this attitude. The entire community is to blame. And he notes, he says, we have in our parsha, Eifat tzedek v'him tzedek yelechem. You should have accurate dry measures. And we have also in our parsha, not to steal. Chazal reveals severe punishment brought about those who practice commerce dishonestly, whereby Klai shall become subject to the ravages of Amalek. A society that tolerates dishonesty deserves the punishment brought upon them by the individual they tolerate. The entire community is branded as fools and full of deceit, both the merchant and the customer. This is why the Parsha of Amalek immediately follows that of Weights and Measures in Parsha Ki Tetzeh. Alternatively, a community can decide to reject dishonesty. When that happens, the thief will no longer be fit to face the Aron Kodesh and lead the seaborne prayer, and will feel as if it carries a burden on his shoulders. This can only be accomplished by change in the communal attitude. As it stands today, financial dishonesty is still one of those popular favorites of the type to which Parsha Kedoshim refers at length. And what Rebelsky Zatzal is saying is very, very, very profound. That a society, a community, whether it's a shul, whether it's a locale, geographically, however you want to define the community, we're all part of different local communities. The community, the leaders of the community, decide that there are certain things that are just not tolerated. And a person who does this is just not allowed to get an aliyah to the Torah, is not allowed. We know the society just looks down upon it. You wouldn't even dream of doing it. When the society turns a blind eye, that's what we call the sheer society significance. When they turn a blind eye, so then they say, it's not such a big deal. It's what we call a popular aveira. And who's really to blame for this? It's the community. It's the society. And this is something that we can't say, well, what do you want? This is our leaders. This is the people who are running the community. We are the constituents of that community. And we need to be able to make changes. We need to be able to influence the powers that be. That this should not be tolerated. And this cannot happen. And when we make this as an important idea, then we're creating our standards for our community. Let's take another example, my friends, and then we'll summarize. And this is also found in our parsha. Lo tamarot amriyecha. Do not stand idly by when you're the blood of your friend is being shed. So although Rebelsky doesn't bring this idea, it's obviously, I would think, a continuation of his idea. So not to stand idly by would be ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and fellow man, your friend is in trouble, you have to go help them. Granted, that is on an individual level. But on a communal level, do you know how many opportunities a community, a shul, has not to stand idly by? Let's take, for example, unemployment. People in that particular shul who are unemployed. It should be the community, the shul's responsibility to help them network, to have people who are in that same field help them with context, help them with networking, help them be able to, or help hire them, and to be able within the community to see what you can do and to help them out financially until they're able to get back on their feet, whatever it is. This is not standing by when a person is unemployed until they can get back on their feet. Example number two, lo tamod et amriecha, shidduch crisis. Whoa, who doesn't heard about the shidduch crisis? Every shul has youngsters, children of members of the shul who are not married. Every shul should have some level of women getting together on a monthly basis to be able to exchange names, to have a shidduch, even if you're not shadchanim, just I know this one, I know that one. Even if you don't make a shidduch, you're starting the ball to roll, and then, you know, a person goes out with that person, they're not shaykh for me, but they're shaykh for my third cousin, fourth time removed. Who knows what comes from it? At least you are trying your best to try to match people up. Lo tamod et amriecha. You have in your community single moms who are raising, divorced, widowed, who are raising children. Don't allow them to spend Yontif by themselves, Shabbos. If there are boys in that family, to set them up with a father who will be responsible for them, or a big brother in shul, who will be able to learn with them, avos ubanim learning. Could be a Zaidi, an older fellow whose kids are married, doesn't have to be 90 years old, you know what I mean? A fellow whose kids are already out of the house, let him, you know, have an adapt a youngster program. These are all, so the child, right, we spoke about in this week's parsha, also not embarrassing, you know, embarrassing it is for a child to be all by themselves in shul, not going out with some bunny, father and son learning. This is the communal responsibility to step in, to be able to sense what are the needs of our community, what are the needs of the constituents of the community, and to step in and help them. And that is why it said Bahakel. So my friends, what we've tried to see today is very, very basic. Kedoshim to you, you and I are all responsible. Every time we eat, L'chvot Shabbos Kodesh, be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, make sure we have Divrei Torah, have a Sefer, learn something small at every meal, to take the physical and be able to elevate it, and really make that distinction between needs, wants, desires, be able to lessen the magnetic field toward the Yetzer Hara, to be able to be drawn to the Yetzer Tov, to be able to have that mindset of how can I elevate my experiences for Hashem. The second aspect, Kedoshim to you happens in a group. We each complement each other. B'shem Kol Yisrael, I can create Kedusha when I am with a group together. Then we have 2A. That this parsha is so fundamental, so many important mitzvahs, mini Maman Har Sinai. And keep in mind, most of these mitzvahs are ben adam l'chaveiro, how careful we have to be in our relationship with other people. To be, the whole point of the parsha is to teach the community as a community what its obligations are, and to understand, the Jewish people have to understand that not only are we responsible to keep Torah at an individual level, there's a separate responsibility for the community. And the community can't stand idly by, and the community has to create standards of what is permissible, what is not. Not to allow certain aspects of the culture to infiltrate, that certain averos should not be popular averos, like dishonesty and stealing, to be able to create a Shabbos atmosphere. What can you do to create a Shabbos atmosphere that people are looking forward to Shabbos, that as a community you have run, you know, groups for kids that they, you know, aren't on the street playing ball on Shabbos, but they're actually in groups that are enabling them to learn, to do productive things during this particular time, saying Tehillim together, whatever it is. The community has this responsibility to create this type of environment, and hence it was said by Hakel, because it's a whole different dimension of a Kiyum HaMitzvos or Bao. We should be Matzliach, my friends, my bracha, as individuals, to be able to live a Kedoshim Tiyu, as well as to be able to strengthen our communities to live on a level of taking the ideas of this parasha and being able to implement them, the Kedusha Vatara, into our lives and the lives of all the members of our community.